grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." He said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." As we gather in God's house this morning, we are nearing the end of the Epiphany season, which began with the bright festival of the Epiphany of our Lord. Epiphany means revealing, unveiling, showing forth of the child born of Mary as God and Savior of the whole world. The festival of the Epiphany has been called the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, because the wise men who came to worship him were not Jews, but Gentiles. And so the coming of the wise men to worship the Christ child was a fulfillment of all those wonderful prophecies which spoke of one who would come to be the Savior not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. As the prophet Isaiah said, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light." But the coming of the wise men was only the beginning of the story. And so on this third Sunday after the Epiphany festival, we hear about another Gentile, a Roman centurion, who comes to Jesus in great distress, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." This Roman centurion knew his need, and he knew the one who could help him. He speaks to Jesus with great simplicity, and Jesus replies with great simplicity, "I will come and heal him." The centurion then speaks with great humility, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." The centurion is a man with power, a man with authority over his soldiers. What he says goes. And this Roman centurion is convinced that the word of Jesus is a word of power, a word of authority. And so it is. Because Jesus' word is indeed the word of God. In the beginning of all things said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God speaks, it is done. St. Matthew tells us that when Jesus heard the words of the centurion, those words of simple faith, he marveled and said to him, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And St. Matthew tells us that the centurion's servant was healed at that very moment. We all know the words of Jesus, which formed the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. And this healing of the centurion's servant comes right after the Sermon on the Mount. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. and who are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who know their complete dependence on their Maker. The poor in spirit know that they have no claim on God, but are completely dependent on His mercy. The poor in spirit look only to Him, knowing that God will give them not all that they want, but all that they truly need. This Roman centurion was one of those who are poor in spirit. But we find such people throughout the pages of the Holy Scriptures. We think of our Lord's mother, with the word of God spoken through the angel Gabriel, said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." God's word through the angel. Yes, the centurion is one who is poor in spirit, and who, claiming nothing is owed him, receives everything, the healing of his servant. He receives great mercy. Apart from our Savior, we are poor indeed, by our sin cut off from God and banished from His gracious presence. A vivid picture of that truth is that of our first parents, driven from paradise, whose gate is then barred by an angel and a flaming sword. But thank God and bless His holy name for His mercy extended to us in Jesus, who stretched out His arms on the cross to bring Jew and Gentile, indeed the whole world, back to Himself, as we sing in one of our Christmas hymns. He opens us again the door of paradise today. The angel guards the gate no more. To God our thanks we pay. Cleansed in the waters of holy baptism, we have been made partakers of eternal life. In the Old Testament lesson this morning, we heard of how Naaman the Syrian, yet another Gentile, was cleansed from leprosy in the waters of the Jordan River, a picture which foreshadows our baptismal cleansing from sin. And so for our comfort, we look only to Christ, and to Christ's word of promise. Faith is simple trust in Him, trust in His promises. Our own feelings come and go. Sometimes we find ourselves joyful and certain of God's mercy and love, and at other times we find ourselves terribly discouraged, even wondering if it can all be true. Under those circumstances, it's no use looking at our poor, frail, inconsistent selves. Our gaze must turn from ourselves to Christ and His cross, to the having happenedness of our baptism, and His saving body and blood put into our mouths in Holy Communion. In fact, in coming to the altar, we can pray with the Roman centurion, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.